Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I'm Brandon Enyart.
And I am Aiden Wood.
She is, and we are the hosts of the Conservationist Conversationalist. Aiden, how's it going?
Could you be more specific? In what area of my life?
You're surviving, right?
I'm here talking to you.
So. Right. So that's all that really matters, right?
Maybe by the time the whoever's listening to this is listening to this, I will not be surviving. But
I feel like how's it going is like obligatory. Boy, that one's hard. Yeah. At almost midnight.
I would say that sleep wise, I've been doing a little bit better than usual. I was up till like 5 a.m. yesterday, but I didn't work today and I don't work tomorrow, so I think that it's okay.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
What time?
And I've been posting, as you may have noticed, because I've been posting it on Instagram, on my personal Instagram, not on the Conservation Convo right. Instagram, but I have been trying to eat more nutrients. So I've been trying to eat like full meals. I've been starting to make myself rice, which is something that like, cause I grew up as a pasta person. Like our family only had pasta and potatoes. Like we very rarely ate rice. And I've always, cause I grew up as like a white bitch in the Michigan suburbs. Like my family, like the food that we ate was like mac and cheese from a box and steamed broccoli and like maybe some chicken nuggets, but it was not exactly like flavorful food. Like, right. Like, you know, there's like a certain stereotype about white people not knowing how to season their food. And like, for me as a kid, like that was accurate. Like now as an adult, I've like embraced flavoring and like seasonings and like cooking vegetables in ways that isn't steaming them or boiling them. But like as a kid, like it was very bland, and so like rice was just like a flavorless texture ball, and I didn't really like the texture. So the other day, I made myself like lemon basil garlic rice, and like that was like a good first step. So I've been trying to build myself up.
No, my family is kind of like split in who likes like to add spice to their food and who doesn't. I cannot stand bland food. Like I cannot stand it. So I had like one side of the family that adds spice to everything, and you got the like I would say probably, although my mom does get better and better, but then she like all at times, sorry mom, I know that you're listening, so but like there were times like where we go to like get a, you know, like a soft pretzel, and she'd be like, I really like this original flavor. I'm like, original is not a flavor, for crying
original
out loud.
Is okay, it is a
it's
flavor.
Not a like, flavor
when I say that I like, we they didn't like flavor it, I mean like the only seasonings that we basically ever put on anything was like sea salt and black pepper. Like that was it. Like now I have like a cupboard full of like cumin and like oregano and rosemary and like I have a right. full spice cabinet. I made myself roasted artichokes with bay leaves and garlic cloves today, and Himalayan sea salt, like which were they were like, it sounds very good when I say it, but like I don't know, roasted artichoke is a little hard.
Well,
even like not even talking about like heat, just like flavors, it was just
I love to add flavors, and like, yeah, like my mom, you know, of course, we know, we've talked about it before, she was born in Europe, she's half French, and garlic is like the main, you know, is the main flavor that's really used, at least it seems that way. I love garlic, but I love tons of flavors. Like I'm like, half of my family hates curry, I love curry. But you like Mexican food, right? So you like like Chipotle, hot sauce.
I actually used to hate Chipotle because it's like a smoky flavor, and I used to hate all smoky flavors. And here's why. When I was like growing up, I'm the only vegetarian in my family, and I have been since I was a kid because I just did not want to eat meat. But like everybody around me like ate meat, and so I had to like, and I didn't like know like when I was 8 years old how to like ask for things without meat, and I didn't know what to look out for. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know until I became like vegan when I was, or vegetarian when I was like seven or eight, and I didn't know that like Caesar dressing had anchovies until I was like 16.
Right.
So like I just didn't know how to like ask for things. So I made like mental associations. Like I trained myself to like reject new flavors. Like if I didn't know what something was, I didn't want to eat meat, so I just like if I didn't know what something was, I would just not eat it. And like I made a mental connection when I was a kid between smoky flavors and like meat. Smoked ham, yeah, right. Like meat. So I like rejected all that. Like I just did not trust anything with a smoky flavor. Like if it tasted like that, I could not. And like even after I like learned what like the smoky flavor really was, and like I tried to have other things with it. Like I just like that was like a very ingrained association that it took me a while to shake. Right. It really was only until this past summer, not this summer, the summer before, before this, that I started working at a Lebanese restaurant, and we have baba ganoush, which is like a smoky eggplant dip. Mm-hmm. And so I started to learn how to like that first, and then was able to expand from there. Yeah. But yeah,
there's some great. See, I love hot sauces as well, and so like I love like Chihula hot sauce and mm-hmm. and Green Dragon. Trader Joe's makes that one; it's amazing. yeah, so I love all that stuff. Half of the family, like I remember going out to certain restaurants. And like some family members would be like, oh, I we love this place. And it's like the most like American bland shit hamburger crap. I mean, you know, where it's just like, it's like mayo, just normal mayonnaise. Like who fucking just likes that?
I like mayo actually.
Oh, well, okay. I love like Just Mayo makes chipotle mayo and sriracha mayo. And I like that. But I otherwise hate mayo, and like because it's flavorless to me.
It has a flavor. What are you talking about?
It's like it's just like glob. That's the flavor is glob.
It has like an oily flavor, and as somebody who like loves oil, like I'll make myself a baked potato and I'll pour oil and salt on it, and I'll like rub it in oil and salt, and then I'll just like lick my fingers because I'm like oil flavor. So, like, that's basically all vegan mayo is. It's just various oils mixed together, and I'm all about that shit.
My big potato is like, I will put chives. I will put, I'm not even kidding. So if it's at home, I will put hot sauce on it because I love to put hot sauce on everything.
Yes, you do.
But if I'm at my grandparents who don't have hot sauce because they don't understand the concept of flavors quite like I do, they just have ketchup. And so I will literally just dip my baked potato in ketchup. Yeah, with chives on it still, because I love chives. And but anyways, what I will say though, by the way, you have been posting pictures of food. And what I'm most impressed about, because I cannot do that, I don't know if this is because I don't have the patience or what, but you plate your dishes very well.
It's 100% because I work at a restaurant, yeah. And like I all of our food is like plated well, you know, yeah. And especially our combo plates where you have like a vegetarian combo that has like baba ganoush and hummus and sea Mediterranean grape leaves and falafel ball and tabbouleh salad with a side of pita and like little bits of cucumber and pickles around it. Oh my God.
That all sounds so good. I'm like,
it is so good.
Oh my God. Oh, geez. I just love.
But the secret to plating things is to put a little bit of a lot of different mm-hmm. stuff on a big plate. Yeah. Like,
oh, I get that.
Just like a scoop full of a few different things, and like people will like lose their shit.
See, one day when they make like a vegan, chopped or something like that, you're gonna go on there and you're gonna say, you know what? And I worked as a what is your job title at the
server?
Server. Okay, so I worked as a server at a Lebanese restaurant. And I learned how to plate there, and I'm gonna say, yeah, look. And you know what? I knew when I saw her Instagram photos of her food, she was plating them well. And now and they're gonna be like, you know, and you're gonna end up winning it, and you're gonna win like what did they win? Like $10,000?
I have no idea. I don't watch cooking shows.
Oh, okay. Nor do I. let's get into some political stuff because this was actually cheery to start this off, and now that's where we go into the doom and gloom of.
Oh yes.
Of what we call in Washington the June gloom, or January.
Is it actually a thing?
Well, we call it that because of the weather, but I'm going to say it because of politics.
Oh, okay, the June gloom.
June has a tendency here in Washington of being like May we get like this like preview of summer, and then June we fall back into what we call June gloom or January. And then July starts off. But actually, this year in June hasn't been that bad. It's just been a little bit, like, angry. Like, not even angry, a little bit miffed.
Yes. Also, I would like to apologize in advance to our listening audience because I am drinking a Coca-Cola, so I might have little burps.
That's okay. Yeah.
It's okay for you. Maybe one of our audience members. Maybe we'll lose audience members because of this
one decision that I've made. You remember that book, Everybody Poops, right? Well, guess what, everybody? Everybody burps as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that everybody wants to listen to people close up into a microphone. Like, That's, I can't do it right now. Wait, let me give you guys a taste. Like, I'm gonna drive away now so that it's an issue. Like, it's just
an issue. Let's get this show on the road. Might as well start it off with a bang. That was so weak.
Sorry, I just a little bit of soda.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. So if that bothers you, I feel like we've done enough to drive our audience away. That, like, if they're here, like, they're here. They're
in it for the first in the yeah. Where are we? Again? We're like 10 minutes in. So I think we'll start off with the fact that we almost went to war with Iran this week, and I laughed.
Yes, okay, so me and Brandon sat down to start like talking about like what we wanted to talk about this episode, and like Brandon was like, "What about politically? Like, it seems like there hasn't. It's been like a pretty slow week in politics." And I was like, "Well, we did almost go to war with Iran, but like, yeah, it's a slow week in politics. And the fact that we literally almost went to war with Iran, and we still considered a slow week in politics, or like we still like." Couldn't really think of anything like pressing. Just sort of shows how dire our situation is.
I'm laughing, by the way, because if I don't, I'll start crying. Trump had basically said that. I mean, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know that we were going to war with Iran, and then he called it back. But then on Twitter, he said, "I never called the strike against Iran back." As people are incorrectly reporting, everybody incorrectly reports about Trump. He must be the most incorrectly reported person on the planet.
It's all fake news, right?
It all is fake news unless he's leading in the polls. And then it is absolutely a genuine news source. Went on to say, "I just stopped it from going forward at this time." Now, I'm not sure if but isn't forward and back, aren't they antonyms?
Well, according to King Boomy from Avatar: The Last Airbender, you're not always it's not always forward or back. Sometimes staying put is a valid option.
But he did say he stopped them from going. Okay, well, I see.
Sort of staying neutral.
Are you saying that Trump is a king? What did you say?
King Boomy, King Boomy from Avatar: The Last Airbender, who is a little bit on the kooky side and has crazy hair. there's no similarities. Otherwise, that's basically where the similarities between King Boomy and Donald Trump ends.
So Avatar Last Airbender, is that like that was an anime thing, right? Why are you looking at me like that? We're gonna move on.
Guys, okay, but for real, like if you have not watched Avatar The Last Airbender, you absolutely should. Like from the beginning.
Oh, I forgot that show that I watched. Oh, that's my favorite show.
For real?
No, I'm just kidding. I've never watched it. I was trying to sound cool.
Okay, well, I'm just saying to you or anybody listening, if you haven't watched Avatar The Last Airbender, you absolutely should. It is one of the greatest TV shows of all time. I'm counting that between like both animated and live action. It's one of the greatest TV shows. And my personal opinion is the best TV show. Some people want to like... be a little more general and say it's just one of the best, like, okay, like, you're cowardly, like, just own it. It's the best TV show of all time. I've watched it 5 times all the way through. I'm going to be watching it again pretty soon because I'm going to be watching it with some friends of mine. I'm going to be introducing another friend to it, and I'm super excited about that. I've watched it 5 times. I wrote an essay about it and about the Taoist themes of the show for an Eastern philosophy class.
Oh, okay. But
the show, like, I watched it when I was a kid, and it was probably one of the biggest influence on my sense of self and my sense of spirituality and my sense of politics as well. And the main character, Aang, is a vegetarian and is like supports like the inherent value of all life. And like, as like I mentioned earlier on this episode, like I was became a vegetarian when I was like 7 or 8. Like, it wasn't that long after that I discovered like that show. And so like, that was like my connection to like a vegetarian philosophy outside of my own personal gut instinct that was resisting the consumption of animals. So like that was like a lifeline. But then on top of that, there's like, it's just a very spiritual show. It's very grounded. And I mean, it's not just these like lofty ideas. It has all these like fantastic characters and stories, but it's grounded in this like sense of philosophy that more than anything else, I think has shaped who I am today.
Okay.
Well, that's why I was looking at you like that.
And you were right about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That was a great movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, and I really probably would not have watched it if you didn't tell me to watch it.
You should absolutely watch Avatar. Watch it from the beginning. It might take a few episodes to get into because, like, the first couple episodes, they're very good, but, like, they're mostly establishing the world and the characters. But the episodes are only 20 minutes long, so I would just, give yourself the chance to sink into it a little bit. Your audio went out. Sorry, guys. How you doing?
Is it back?
It is back.
I'm sorry, everybody. I don't know why this happens on this podcast, but I'm not going to blame it on the podcast. It's somehow my computer. But anyways, I'm back. I'm sure it has more substance than what I'm watching, which is The Bachelorette. So, you know.
It has more substance than The Bachelorette.
But yeah, so anyways, getting back to what you're saying, though. So yeah, I almost went to war with Iran. And I don't know where that exactly sits right now, but it seems to be that everything is cooled off a bit, maybe. But yeah, on top of that, you know, going to war is a light note, we're seeing images, more and more images of what's going on at the border, and it's getting more and more horrendous just to see it with your own, you know, with your own two eyes. And you're hearing stuff like they don't have soap. They're not giving them soap. They're not giving them toothpaste and toothbrushes. These are just very common things that even the worst of criminals are offered, you know, in prison. In fact, my gosh, I was shocked to see how many people, and depending on what level of prison you're in, actually have televisions inside of their cell now, which is just crazy to me because I always thought that was, you know, you didn't have those luxuries, whatever. So to think that these children, they're children, fleeing from war, they're seeking asylum, and with their families, and the fact that they are not even given the decency of you know, just hygiene is absolutely just devastating to me.
I can't imagine that. Like, we talked on the last episode about, like, I think we did, about, like, internment camps versus concentration camps versus, like, eventual death camps. I mean, I can't imagine that, like, border, like if that Customs and Border Enforcement, like, let, I can't imagine that they would have let this happen if they intended for those people to ever get out.
What I was going to say is, you know, and obviously this was a number that was thrown up on Twitter, so, you know, take it for what it's worth, right? But somebody was showing today that the cost of a cot, basically, or tent, sort of structure along the border was around $760 or something around or along those lines. And they also shown that a night at the at a suite or whatever at the Trump hotel or whatever was $700 and something for like the penthouse or whatever, I don't know. And but they were talking about, so somebody's making a killing off of keeping families and children in an internment camp. And it's really crazy because the thing that I first think about is I remember when I was, you know, learning the history of the world and in school growing up, I remember hearing about the internment camps for Japanese people after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but that went further on to, because people weren't, they were putting all Asian people in these internment camps. And I thought, my God, what a horrendous time that people would do something like that. And that, you know, and they wouldn't care and value human life just because of, you know, a few bad eggs, who bombed Pearl Harbor. And I thought, when I saw the pictures from up above with, you know, especially with the conditions they're in, and I thought to myself, oh my God, this is happening again. We didn't learn. We were told growing up that we'd learn from our mistakes, and we have not learned at all. This is such a huge issue, and yet we're going on every day by watching, you know, the NBA finals and the World Cup, Women's World Cup. Myself, you know, because of course it's tough for us to watch this, even though we're watching it from the comfort of our own homes. And yet we're going on, we're doing this stuff every single day, every single one of us, while this is happening, because it only gets shown on the news at some points during the day. And if it was in our face all day long, I think that there'd be a much bigger outcry and there would be a lot less likely for this to be happening. I'm not saying that ever would happen, but I just wonder if we could be doing better.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I feel like
media-wise, or just, yeah.
Media-wise, but also just, like, I mean, like, I have wanted for some time to do, to, like, go to, go to the protests and go, like, go out, like, and, like, take a stand. Meanwhile, I have not left my house all day. I very well might not leave my house all day tomorrow, because that's just, like, because I'm just, like, so isolated, and I don't have a car, and I don't have money, and I don't have connections. Like, I don't know, like, where the, I just feel, like, very lost, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, too, is that people will often bring up, you know, well, do, you know, well, look, you can do this, you can do that, you can do whatever. Forgetting that a lot of us do feel very lost. We have jobs, we have day jobs, we have things we're trying, and yes, we have it so much better than what these people are going through. But what we really don't want, and this is not a cop out, because I do want to do what it takes, you know, I do want to do more. But what we really do want at the end of the day is for our country not to let us down as people, for the representation we have not to let us down like they are right now. Because what the world is seeing right now is that we're keeping kids in cages, and that we are going through the same mistakes that we repeated in the past over and over again. And that falls on our government. And so I, you know, to constantly put blame on society, even though, yes, I realize that we do have power with our words and we have power with what we do. What we really want at the end of the day is to not be misrepresented and to not have this happen. You know, this is just, it's, I can't even find the words. I mean, I could use every synonym for disgraceful in the book and it wouldn't be enough. So what people can do is that there are ICE raids going on around the country right now. And in fact, I had heard that one was even happening in Skagit County, which is the county south of Whatcom County where I live today. And that was a rumor, at least. And I'll make sure that it's on our accounts, both the English and Spanish directions for if somebody you know, or even just a stranger, ends up in the situation where they may have to answer to ICE, what they can do to and what their rights are. I'll make sure that those infographics are on all of our accounts and spread them around, spread them everywhere, so that people understand their rights when it comes to these raids, which are, you know, just awful as well. So yeah, away from that, we do have, because we're hoping to create some change here in 2020. We talked about the candidates who are going to be at the debate, of course, last week. I would say, I don't even know if I got a passing grade.
You knew all of the candidates who are remotely relevant.
Okay, fair. Yeah. But when it came to, like, what was it? Tim Ryan, and
Eric Swalwell.
Swalwell. Yep.
Hickenlooper.
John.
I only remember because he has a funny name.
Because of that last name, right?
Looper. I have a friend, shout out to Mo Fraga, who listens to our show and is from Colorado, and was like, it was very funny to hear you guys talk about Hickenlooper. Apparently he's kind of a mediocre governor.
What was his name?
Huh? Mo Fraga. Oh, okay. I know him from Twitch. That's his username. That's
probably, oh, gotcha. I was going to say, I'm going to mess up his name. But yeah, so, well, thank you for listening, my friend. And yes, I'm glad that we can entertain you. So yeah, Hickenlooper, he's in it. There's that lady who is very in
Marianne Williamson.
Right. Yeah. Marianne, yes. Williamson. So
she will heal the country through love.
It's like the Beatles said, all you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
And no policy proposals.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where Pete Buttigieg is right now. He's saying that what the country needs right now are values and not policy. Pete Buttigieg, by the way, one of the guys who's going to be debating. And he actually ran into a group of protesters for, I believe, Black Lives Matter. And he didn't have an answer regarding his past when it comes to, of course, there was the police chief in South Bend who had recorded a white police officer who was making racial comments, and it was a black police chief. He fired the police chief after figuring this out, that he was recording other officers, even though what the other officer was doing was racist, and then proceeded to hire two more white police chiefs. And then, of course, we have, you know, he doesn't have the greatest record when it comes to incarceration of minorities. And he doesn't really have a great answer for it. He likes to tell people when they ask him something, I'm listening and I'm going to talk about this. But at the end of the day, he really doesn't do a whole lot about it. And it's interesting because those states, and I've never been to these states, so I don't want to judge on what they are primarily, but it often feels like a very, very whitewashed, you know, Iowa, Ohio, those sort of states. It's almost, I thought to myself the other day, because, you know, when you're talking about like the West Coast, right, or even the Northeast, these are places that, even given my background, you know, are essentially the melting pots, right? You have so many different cultures around here. And I would love to see somebody from the West Coast or from, you know, or from the Northeast, just because I feel like it would represent so many of us, you know, whether we be white or minorities. And I'd like to get out of the Midwest in that way. But anyway, so yeah, so that's Pete. You mentioned though last week, of course, you know, you and I are both, I side a little more with Bernie. You side with, Warren. Dear God, Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth.
Wow. Warren. I don't know what, you ever have that thing where your brain just, you know it, but your brain just completely decides
on the tip of your tongue,
evacuate. So Elizabeth Warren, sorry, Elizabeth, who you're a fan of. So we're interested to hear them at the debates. There was another thing. So as we talked about before, I'm the secretary of the Whatcom Democrats. And we were talking a little bit about it last night, that there's this interesting thing down the West Coast, right? And I wish I had the graphic was like share between us. I don't know if I could probably share it with you, but anyways, I didn't, and I'm sorry. But anyways, it basically went down the line though of representatives and senators from California, Oregon, Washington, and Hawaii. And it was about, who, supports Green New Deal and Medicare for All. And they're also part of selective groups within the Democratic Party. Those being the Progressive Democrats and then what a group that calls themselves the New Democrats. Now, there were two from Washington. I can't remember the name of the second one, but Pramila Jayapal, who is a representative here, she's part of Progressive Democrats, right? And she actually has worked with AOC and Ilhan Omar. And she is part of Progressive Democrats. And guess what? She is yes on both Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. When you look at every single other person, representative or senator, who is calls themselves part of the New Democrats, they are against both. So that's a pretty blatant thing right there. When you look at that, there is, when we talk about separation in the party, that right there is a big separation. And Jay Inslee, who I have said I can't wait to hear him debate because he is the governor of Washington. He is one of those who I believe he does. So he's an interesting one because I believe he does support a Green New Deal. Because his platform is based in the environment, but he does not support Medicare for All. And I find that to be interesting. Now, remember, he's not a representative or a senator. And when I was talking about earlier, I was talking about, politicians who are in DC. Now, Oregon, by the way, has actually the most progressive candidates inside of their, progressive, electees. They have the most in as representatives for them. California is a little more like Washington. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Washington and California are comparable when it comes to how far left their voting base is, far more left than Oregon's. That to me is mind-blowing. I don't even know where how we can even dissect that.
I don't either. It sounds like somebody who, like, that I feel like the job of dissecting that should go to somebody who's more familiar with the details of polling data and
right.
like voting populations. I feel like there's going to be need a lot more numbers and a lot more time to analyze that more.
Oh, yeah. But so, I mean, I think though the one thing that pops off of it to me is that we are not represented as well as we could be in Washington and California, given the way that that our voters are and the candidates were given the choice to vote for. But yeah, so that basically was a long way of me saying that, you know, Jay Inslee has a lot of things to answer if he gets a chance. Who do you now somebody who's actually gained some traction with me lately, and we kind of half joked about it last week when you found out he was vegan, you're like, oh hey, he's now jumped up into my top. That is Cory Booker. Cory Booker is the one that I can't wait though actually to see, because you know he is dating Rosario Dawson, who was a—
I didn't know that.
Okay, well he is, but here's the thing: she was a big campaigner for Bernie Sanders in 2016. So perhaps, even though he's always been decently left, but perhaps she's even bringing him further to the left. I'm very interested to see what Cory Booker has to say at the debates.
I'm very interested too. That's like such a cute couple. Like, this is irrelevant, but that's such a cute couple,
right? So when it comes to debates though, so now are you having any sort of debate party, watch party, or are you just doing it by yourself?
I have a friend on Twitch. His name is I'm Really Important. Okay. All lowercase, no spaces, or yeah. I'm Really Important on Twitch. And he's a political streamer and he does live streams of major events like this.
Okay.
And so he gives people a space to talk about it. So I intend to be watching his stream tomorrow night and dissecting all that juicy goodness.
And I have a few things earlier on in the evening, so I'll probably be watching it a tad bit delayed at least tomorrow night. But then we have Thursday night is right, but I will have it DVR'd here. It's going to be very, very interesting. I think that when I talk about a local level, the split between New Democrats and progressives, it's going to be interesting to see how these candidates are accepted into the, you know, once they start to get their voices out there, because I feel more than ever right now, voters and potential, especially young voters, are definitely looking for something new. And I think although Biden had all that, you know, that momentum because he's Biden and whatever, and he's an establishment Democrat, I feel like he's slipping and slipping and slipping, because we all know that once he starts campaigning, he's really, really shitty at it. That's why he's lost in the past so many times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are even saying, like, he is really bad, actually, on the campaign trail. And I just feel like, you know, even though, of course, I love Bernie, and of course, you know, with Elizabeth as well, but I kind of feel like there's that chance that Cory, he's kind of a charismatic guy. He's you know, younger side. I feel like he could really make some moves here that we weren't expecting, for potentially.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to say. I think that the next episode of Conservationist Conversationalist, we're gonna have a lot to talk about.
Right, his Twitter game has gotten so much better too, which is why I'm like, damn, Cory, let's do it, man. Let's have a good debate. So should we move into, we're going to talk about Australia. How do you like Australia, Aiden?
I think it's okay.
Yeah. it's not a ringing endorsement.
I have no intention of ever going to Australia. I do not want to.
I want to.
They have spiders as big as your head.
So I was at my grandparents earlier today. There was a spider coming down her doorway. And I begged her, don't kill it. Spiders are nice. They're good.
I know. I like spiders too. Like,
yeah.
When they aren't as big as your head, when they aren't big enough to kill babies and dogs.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's
is where I draw the line with spiders.
Yeah. I saw this great picture. I saw this great picture of a dingo eating a shark on like a Australian beach, and then there's two snakes either killing or fucking each other and like the in the near part of the photo. Like, that is Australia right there, and I'm all in.
What I will say about Australia is that one of my favorite TV shows when I was like a kid was a show
Skippy
called
the Bush Kangaroo. Oh no, shit. I thought we were gonna have a moment here and it didn't happen.
No, it wasn't. It was a TV show called H2O Just Add Water, which is a show about mermaids.
I've never heard of that. Oh, yes, I have. I've seen clips of that.
Yeah, it's basically about these three teenage girls who become mermaids when they touch water, and then they also have, like, water powers. Like, one of them can heat up water, and then another one can freeze water.
Yes, yes, this is great. You know why I know about this?
How do you know?
I like to go on YouTube, and when I'm trying to learn other languages, which I'm not great at, but I try, I will look up clips of, like, other, like, TV shows from around the world, right? And once you look up clips in YouTube, it shows you clips of all types of foreign shows. And that show will come up frequently. I'm like, what is this? And then I'm like, oh, wait, they cannot be, like, touched by water. Their tail starts growing and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're, like, yeah, human beings are, like, 70% water. Like, I don't know. Yeah. If they get, like, a little cut, like, a paper cut, like, their water will be on the outside. Would they turn into – there's, like, so many questions I have about that show. And I started rewatching it a couple weeks ago, like, or, like, last week. I just started because I found it – it's all for free. It's all available for free on YouTube. Somebody just uploaded it all, and apparently the powers that be in Australia do not give a fuck.
Yeah,
because they're less like whatever.
Watch it.
Yeah, and like there's even like a bajillion ads throughout it. Like whoever owns the copyright does not care, which is great. But like I always started rewatching the first few episodes, and I was like, oh, this is so cheesy. It's just such like a quintessential like early 2000s show about mermaids for preteen girls made in Australia. You know,
right. So now you need to watch Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
I will not. But
my favorite Australian show. So you know what I don't like about Australia though? Senator Bridget McKenzie. Senator Bridget McKenzie tweeted this week, not happy with latest fake food push. Chicken-free chicken is not chicken. It's reconstituted peas. We need to protect our farmers. Forgetting that farmers also grow peas, Bridget.
Yeah. Like protect our chicken farmers, but then I guess fuck everybody.
Pea farmers.
Like, fuck this other emerging industry. Like, we're just going to take sides for some reason.
But, I mean, can you imagine a group, I mean, of hating veganism so much that you are afraid that a tyrant in corporation, in all corporations, we're talking about factory farms, chicken farmers, dairy farms, beef farms, go down the fucking list, okay? Egg farms. And that you are so afraid that by calling fake chicken, or, you know, chicken, or whatever they do, right, that is going to somehow, if that is what brings down the meat industry, then by God, we deserve it.
Yeah, I just, like, if your industry is so fragile that, like almond milk is going to take it down, just, like.
Right? Yeah, right? It's like, don't call it milk. Almonds don't have nipples.
Yeah, but I mean, like, my response to that is, like, I think I've said it on the show before, it's that tea is, like, a specific type of plant. If it is not, if it technically, no,
we have,
tea,
yeah, we
if it's, not, like, tea is not tea unless it comes from the tea plant, but right. We still have chamomile tea, we still have chai tea, we still have, like, herbal teas and fruit teas and all of these things are not technically tea, they're just an herbal infusion or whatever, but we still call them tea because at some point the word tea has shifted to a new meaning. Like, if the word milk has shifted to a new meaning, that's fine. Like, if you aren't going to, like, pass legislation to, like, restrict, like, what things can be called tea and what things can not be called tea, then, like, you can just, like, let the milk thing go.
I mean, fucking Backwoods Hicks started putting barbecue sauce and chicken on goddamn pizzas. Nobody said don't call it fucking pizza, for God's sake. That's not pizza!
I'm like a pizza liberal. You can do whatever you want to pizza.
Oh, I am too, but, like, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If we're gonna bitch about everything, my God. Anyways, so but that kind of leads me to so I watched this thing the other day. It was a video this guy, his I can't remember his name. What's wrong with me tonight? Anyways, it's a Canadian. He's a Canadian vlogger, and he on Young Turks, which is a network I watch frequently. There's one of the personalities on there, Hassan Pike. He wanted to have a talk with him over, it was either Twitch or Discord, one of the two, about veganism. Cause Hassan was like, well, I am not a vegan. I feel like, you know, it's...
I think we talked about this last week.
No, we talked about it before the show, and we never got to it because we were talking about flags.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was great. But anyways, so the moral of the story is they have this discussion, and the first question that was asked by, because... asked by the vlogger whose name was, it's called Ask Something, or I don't know. Anyways, but anyway, the first question was asked was basically, where is your limit, right, when it comes to trait swapping? Like, what would make you eat a human? That was the question, right? Or what would an animal have to do to make you not eat it? And Hassan is like, oh, well, an animal has to be able to build a civilization, which is a shitty response, honestly. Like, build a civilization is how I stop eating you. But he also admitted to being a hypocrite and saying that, look, I know that what I'm doing is not good for the environment. I know that it's totally hypocritical that I don't think you should eat monkeys or eat even dogs or whatever. I don't know if he said dogs particularly, but you shouldn't eat that, but you should eat this. He said, but like, I just understand that I'm a hypocrite and that I really, at this point, you know, he it's kind of a cop out, but like, at least he admitted, hey, look, I'm a hypocrite. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, I felt there are ways to like argue that point. Right. But yet the vlogger kept hitting on the same thing over and over again. But here's the thing about trade stopping, civilizations, blah, blah. Like, I don't know why we're asking what would make you potentially eat a human or stop. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, that's just such a dumb question, honestly. But anyway, so I guess, so then, you know, you fast forward, and you have, I see friends on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, who are talking about that they're trying to go vegan, but the vegan community really pisses them off, because they're very righteous, and they say this, and they say that. And it's always interesting to me, because I feel like the minute you tell people you've gone vegan, they will, every time they possibly can, bring up just how unhealthy you are and how wrong you are to be vegan. And yet there's never really talk about how righteous they are. We've talked about probably on this show a few times, but like, you know, I mean, you can drive down the road and see a billboard for, you know, Got Milk or bacon, who can live. I mean, it's always the first thing you hear from somebody.
And there's also like, there's like so much righteousness in terms of the policing of masculinity. Like,
Like
this idea that like, oh, if you eat a salad, you're like not a real man. Hell, if you drink iced coffee instead of hot black coffee, you're not a real man. Like, which is like ridiculous. But people would be so fragile, and like, people like are always like, oh, I don't want a vegan to tell me how to eat. But then they'll turn around and be like, well, you can't eat that because that's not like, that's not like a real masculine thing to do. Or like, you can't eat that because like it's unhealthy for you. Or like, you can't eat that because like it's like not real food because it's like a chickpea patty. Like, that's like, it's like you're hurting our farmers. Like, people will like are so hypocritical, and who like in like telling people like, oh, don't tell me what to eat, or don't insinuate that I should be changing my diet, but then they'll turn around and like they'll criticize everybody who has a different diet than them, which is infuriating. Yeah, I mean, I keep my mouth shut about people's diets except on the show, which is like my one outlet. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's the same. I'll get asked plenty of times about, you know, it'll be, well, you know, well, you do realize we have organs that were made to, you know, withstand meat and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I have no argument against the fact that humans are omnivores, okay? But they don't have to be omnivores. That's the difference. And in fact, there was actually a study that came out this week, but the news story was this week, that actually has talked about where a plant-based diet is actually helping people cure their Crohn's disease, or at least put into remission, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And also another great article about how vegan cheese, 41%, I believe it jumped, I think, this year in sales, where, of course, dairy cheese, you know, it's obviously, it probably is going to stay level because it's been around for a while. But yeah, vegan cheese jumped in sales. And why? Because it's actually really good now. But I'll get asked, you know, all the time about, or told off, you know, well, look, what you're doing is stupid because you still walk along the grass and you're killing bugs. And by the way, you're eating plants, and plants have feelings. And they, I mean, like, they, without any regard for what a central nervous system is. But is there, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess my question is, when somebody is asking about it, when they bring that argument to you, I mean, what is the, you know, what is your, if somebody talks to you about it, I guess I should say, what is your response usually to somebody who is telling you why you shouldn't be vegan?
People don't usually say that. Like, okay. People are generally pretty respectful. Like, if they did, like, have something to say, I would just sort of smile politely and, that's like the waitress in me, like a person who's worked in food service for several years, would just be like, that's nice. Thank you for your opinion. Okay. Goodbye. Your audio went out again. While you get that set up, I'll just say that, like, I think their opinion doesn't matter to me. Like, if I wanted to get into an argument with somebody, like, I would just say, like, I'm going to be vegan regardless, like, whatever right. you have to say. Like, I have not told you should be. I have not told you should stop. Like, if you come to me with questions or if you come to me asking me to convince you to be vegan or ask me, like, why I am so that you can help better understand and maybe make a change in your life, I will. But, like, that's on your terms. So don't, like, come to me, like, with your shit.
I guess, too, that, you know, we all know there are ways not to go about it. And I totally understand that when people, you know, say that. It hurts me a bit to see people who are trying to make that transition who seem to think that the vegan community is so bad. The truth is, I think that really when I've really dove deep, most of the people are actually really, really great about things, and they are people who do value the idea of just lessening your intake of meats and dairy and such as well as a start, right? Yeah. And I mean, sure, if you go to, you know, Instagram accounts that are very, very heavily vegan or whatever, sure, you'll see pictures that they don't, you know, that are very, very heavy on the, you know, activism side. But that's just life. Activism usually is meant to cause a reaction because that's what they're trying to do. And that's totally understandable. I guess for me, I just go, you know, I totally agree that, you know, being patient is the best way about it. But also, I mean, like, come on, people. Like, for those of you who are thinking that the vegan community is so righteous and bad, like, please do take a step back and see it from the other side as well, which is that meat products and stuff and the fact that it's supposed to be so much better for you, that's shoved into people's faces every single day. And, you know, and like you mentioned, it's even something that contributes to toxic masculinity in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and which is just ridiculous. I personally have, you know, and I love my friends, but I personally will have many of my friends on, you know, as soon as they start to, when they feel it's time, sometimes they'll go months, whatever, without saying anything. And then suddenly something gets in their brain. They're like, I got to really hit them hard on this one about veganism. Cause my God, that is some dumb shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, I just hope that people will, yeah, just, you know, before you really, you know, make comments about a whole community, we're at the end of the day, we just really want to see, you know, a bit of a change. I thought it was really, really great because another thing people will say was, well, what do you think of animals who kill other animals? And somebody brought up a great point. They said, well, you know what? Those animals do not put billions of other animals in small little living spaces just for the use of meat, dairy, eggs, whatever.
I personally have a lot more respect for hunters who hunt.
I 100% agree with you.
As opposed to people who just, like, mindlessly, like, go, like, and, like experience, like, subsist on factory farming. Like, there's a difference between, like hunting for your own food.
Right.
Like, killing an animal in its natural habitat. Like, that's, like, something that's natural. Like, anybody who says, like, meat eating is natural, but, like, ignores the fact that factory farming is not natural is, like, fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Like, for me, when I say that, people get shocked. And I say, no. It'd probably be hard for me to be friends with a big-time hunter. I will never understand how you can kill something to eat, but like you just said, I have more respect for that because when you hear when you hear people talk about, you know, and they go through that lazy thing, you know, it's, you know, vegan is, you know, I'm going to use the term native because I won't use the one that's usually used, but, you know, vegan is native for lazy hunter. And these people are literally going through the, you know, the meat section of the grocery store looking at which, you know, which one is. So yeah, you guys are really, you know, active hunters as well. But no, yeah, I totally agree with you that there's that, you know, if you're out there, especially when you look at like people who are frontier people in Alaska, stuff like that, who but you know, it's funny, there's that show on Discovery, Alaska, Last Frontier or something like that. Anyways, and a few of the people on that show are vegetarian, and they live in, you know, in an area where people are hunting for their meat and storing away meat for the winter. But guess what? The vegetarians get through the winter just fine. but anyways, well, I guess we can start to think about what are the good things we saw on the internet this week.
I have one today.
Sweet deal.
And it's a Netflix show that I binged watched last week.
I know what this is.
Yeah, so it's been out for like a couple months now. But I just binge watched it last weekend with some friends online. And it was extremely good. So this show is called Russian Doll. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman who dies on her 36th birthday only to start reliving that same day over and over again. And that show just like, it's like 8 episodes long. It's a Netflix show. You could easily watch it in a day if you want to sit down and binge it. But that show had such a big impact on me. Like, I was like crying a little bit while I was watching it near the end. And then that night I was thinking about it when I went to sleep. And then the next day at work, I started thinking about it at work, like thinking at some of the more impactful scenes that connected with me on a very personal level. Because honestly, like the main character is like someone you probably don't want to relate to, but I kind of do relate to a lot. Like a lot of the things she's experienced, I haven't experienced things that are exactly the same, but I have experienced things that are in that, you know, type of experience, and I like don't talk to people about them. I'm starting to more, but that's like been a huge journey to get to that point, and it sort of like has made me realize I need to like address that, because otherwise, it's like 20 years down the line, I'll turn into that main character, and I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be in that situation. But anyways, I was thinking at work the next day, and I started crying at work, which was bad because I was like, I gotta serve these orders, but I can't stop thinking about this good Netflix show. And also, like, also, wait, sorry, one more thing. The creator of the show. One of the creators, Natasha Lyonne, who also stars in the show. She's very into crossword puzzles. The crossword puzzles and crossword puzzle solving are mentioned a few times in the show. And as anybody who knows me and knows my Twitch live stream, which is crossword puzzle focus, I was very into that. But Natasha Lyonne actually co-constructed a puzzle with Deb Amlin of the New York Times, and we solved it on stream. And I was very excited about that. So it was very nice to actually watch her show.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, and the lead actress in Russian Doll, she's also from Orange Is the New Black.
Yes, she's very good.
Yeah, she's a great actress. I'm a big fan of Orange Is the New Black. I've been meaning to watch Russian Doll. I have not watched it yet, but I have been meaning to watch it.
Yeah, it's a good show. Like for me, I would still put Avatar: The Last Airbender above it, just because like that is like Avatar is like fucking next level shit, and like that was like 3 seasons long, and it had to do like so much more complex stuff. In terms of like appealing to so many different audiences and balancing like so many different factors, and like also being like a network show that has to incorporate like ad breaks and shit. Like, I feel like the level of complexity that requires, as opposed to a Netflix show where you can plan out the entire thing and record it. I don't know, but like they're both really brilliant shows. So that's my homework for you, Brandon. By next week, please
watch both of the shows. Okay, so I have to watch both. That will be hard to do. I can try to watch one, maybe.
You watch at least like the first season of Avatar. Again, it's like 20-minute episodes.
Okay. What was I going to say before I went into mine? Do you watch Black Mirror though?
I do not watch Black Mirror.
Okay.
Whenever everybody's always like, you should watch Black Mirror. And it's like, if I wanted to like learn about how tech is ruining our lives, I would just turn on the TV or read it.
But they do a very good job though. I will say that. Because I'm actually like, although I understand where tech does ruin our everyday lives, I'm also a big fan of tech, like a huge fan of tech. So I'm not somebody who's like, oh yeah, now I'm going to stop and, you know, going on Instagram and shit like that. No, like I'm still gonna be, you know, pandering for likes, but they come up with some great themes. There's some great episodes. One of the episodes this season was, I think, really had some interesting concepts to it.
Was it the one where the two guys in VR are like...
Yes, yes. I thought that was a very unique idea because it kind of caused some controversy, and then some people instead saw it as a very, I don't know. But and then, of course, you had other really, really good episodes of Black Mirror in the past. That are just really well done, just in the sense of just visually and everything. But yeah, that was a very interesting episode, that one about VR. And who knows, maybe not that far from in the future for.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. All I know is that they have their avatars have sex.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I don't really get what the conflict is in that though.
The conflict was, I think, that because so at one point, the one friend says to the other one, while his avatar is, he's in the female avatar's body, so to speak, after they have sex, he looks over at his friends, he says, "So I guess we gay now." And that was like taken as a bit of a homophobic thing to say, but yet I thought that based on culture, I think that was the point of it, was basically these are two guys who are probably hyper, some degree hyper masculine. And now figuring out that, oh shit, we're not as hyper masculine as we thought we, or not as masculine as we thought we were, kind of thing, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, I think they thought they shied away from their true feelings when they had them kiss in real life. Sorry, by the way, everybody, like we said, spoiler if you haven't watched it. But when they kiss at the end in real life, they don't feel anything. So it was just something that was purely virtual. Yeah. Right, and people thought that was, you know, shying away from them potentially having an attraction to each other in real life. But I think that was also a bit more of, I think it was them trying to get at too, that our lives virtually are very different from our lives in reality. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. That's just maybe how I saw you could take it both ways. But maybe you have an opinion on that.
Well, I just remember like one of the first relationships that I was like with somebody that I was like pretty serious with. Like I had a first boyfriend, but like I didn't really like him that much. But the first like boyfriend I had that like I like was into, like I remember at one point sort of realizing that I liked them more when we were chatting through Skype than I did when we were talking in real life. Like I liked them more when it was digital than when it was like face to face.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, there you go. Very, very, very good point there.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, so it's a great episode. I found it to be very interesting because it even kind of delves into the fact that guys who play video games tend to play female characters, and they always have kind of like a reason or excuse for it, because, oh my God, they don't want to, you know, say they're not macho enough, right? And that, I think this, at the end of the day, this guy, they show him at the end, and he is... still with his cat, because like basically they make an agreement again. Sorry, spoiling everything, but they basically make an agreement to where the one guy has his wife and kids, and they only meet once a month over VR. And the other guy, and then the wife can also have an affair with somebody she picks up at the bar or whatever on that night as well. And so, but the guy who is the female avatar, he is just sitting there with his cat in his apartment while the other ones are enjoying their life, and almost like he's living for that moment each month, kind of feeling. And yeah, like that was so I think that it brings up a lot of things. I think just, you know, not to mention that just when it comes to gender in general, it's always made to be so black and white, and fluidity is not touched on nearly enough, you know, when it comes to everybody. But anyway, so yeah, I for me personally, I thought it was well done. I can see though where people maybe took some different, because I think that's part of Black Mirror too. You're supposed to take different things from it depending on who you are. So yeah, I totally respect and understand why people would think other things. But anyways, my great thing of the week is the fact that AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Bernie Sanders all got on board to eliminate a plan to hopefully eliminate student debt in the future. And as somebody who never went to college, I have no reason to be excited for this, except for the fact that I care about the rest of this fucking country. And yeah, I hope that student debt does get erased. I hope that we start to make college tuition-free, at least at some level, here in the United States. So good for Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar and AOC for getting on that this week, and I don't know what's going to come of it, but it sure is nice to see people giving it the old college try. So just, there you go, college try. Yeah, so that's me. We're about to sign off here. You are, like we mentioned last week, you're still on hiatus with the Dibs, but people can catch up.
Yeah, it's they can catch up with Dibs, which I would recommend doing. The next season's going to be fucking cray. Also, yeah, for context, I do a podcast called Dibs, Welcome to the Family. It's a podcast about people who are conceived via sperm and egg donation, and it's about this complex and our complex and ever-changing definitions of family, and about the fucking wild shit that goes on in the reproductive health industry, which I was not 100% prepared for when I started the podcast. And then I started the podcast, and I was like, holy shit, this place is cray! Anyways, I would highly recommend checking it. The next season is going to be really intense, and I'm like bracing myself for it. Like, I was supposed to do some editing today, and I really need to because I really want to get a handle on it before it starts, because once it does start, it's gonna be like, it's gonna be wild. Your audio cut out again, damn it, come on.
So I was just thinking to myself that if you had a like a, you know, promo for it, promo commercial, that you would just have, that this season is going to be fucking cray.
Yes. Yeah. It's gonna be wild. It's just because, okay, so like a little bit of a spoiler alert, but one thing I'm going to be doing this season is I'm going to start talking to people about getting legislation passed to reform the reproductive health industry. Like, I'm going to actually be talking to a local representatives, and I've been speaking to some people who, speaking to like lawyers and speaking to people within the industry, and so I'm going to try and get a law passed to, and I'm going to be documenting that journey through the podcast, and I'm terrified. Like, I'm
It's going to be exciting, though.
It's going to be exciting.
Making waves. So yeah, we'll Dibs, Welcome to the Family, available on most all podcast streaming apps and all that good stuff. If you want to listen to music, not quite as important, I suppose.
Music is so important, and you're doing a lot for like the actual careers of the musicians that you're representing.
I appreciate that. They are indie artists, so don't listen for me. Listen for the artists on there. Yeah, we've got interviews each week. We've got new music each week, and I'm excited for it because these artists are incredible. And I just hope they get all the credit they deserve and then go and listen to them a bunch of times on Spotify so they at least get paid a few dollars, even though it's not nearly enough. So if you check out Lemonade Magazine's podcast, that is also on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, as well as Podcoin, where you can make some coins from Podcoin if you listen. Well, Aiden, it's been real. Next week is going to be something else, because we're going to be talking about the old debates.
Yep, and that's all I have to say about that.
It's going to be interesting. I can imagine that while I'm watching, there's going to be quite a few fuck John Delaney's thrown around. Anyways, thank you, everybody.
And fuck Joe Biden. Let's not forget.
Fuck Joe Biden, that's right. Yeah. Everybody, thank you so much again for listening. We'll be back next week with a debate recap. And as always, stay dope.